Good morning. Let's bow our heads and open with prayer. Lord God, we thank you for coming into our midst some 2,000 years ago. We also thank you for the promise of your second coming of Jesus. In the meantime, we ask that your name be lifted up high and that Jesus will be remembered and celebrated every day, especially over Christmas. Please anoint my lips to share your life, transforming words to encourage and bless many. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. So today, actually, I'm not going to talk about Christmas. We've probably heard quite a lot of message around Christmas this season. But I'll talk about something a bit obscure for me, and I just come across it a few months ago. So please turn to Acts chapter 20, verse 6 to 12. This passage is about Eutychus, whom Paul raised from the dead at Troas. So I'll just read it starting from verse 6. We sailed from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came to them at Troas within 5 days, and there we stayed 7 days. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them, intending to leave the next day, and he prolonged his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where we were gathered together. And there was a young man named Eutychus sitting on the windowsill, sinking into a deep sleep. And as Paul kept on talking, he was overcome by sleep and fell down from the third floor and was picked up dead. But Paul went down and fell upon him, and after embracing him, he said, "Do not be troubled, for his life is in him." When he had gone back up and had broken the bread and eaten, he talked with them a long while until daybreak and then left. They took away the boy alive and were greatly comforted. In chapter 20, Paul talks about his missionary journey, encouraged disciples to keep up the good work in Ephesus. He went to Greece for a few months and then on to Macedonia and to Troas, where the scripture gave some details about an incident where Paul raised Eutychus from the dead during a message he gave, and then continues his travel to Miletus and so forth. So these verses stood out to me because it highlighted an incident in the midst of all the traveling. It just stood out and didn't seem to like fit anywhere, because it's just giving a lot of details about an incident, whereas all around it just talk about trips and traveling. So when I read it, it just stood out to me. So why did the author give details about this incident in the midst of all this traveling? That was the first thing I was thinking about. And maybe first is to look at who Eutychus is. Eutychus actually means fortunate one or lucky one. I mean, clearly he was lucky that Paul was there. Otherwise, he would have died because he was falling asleep during a message. Yes, I know some of you smile already. I certainly have fallen asleep on a message before, and who would have thought that it could lead to death? I mean, I certainly didn't. And but maybe it could lead to death, and we don't know about it. So I'll talk about this later on. So before I do that, I'll look at some symbolism in the passage. The first one I will highlight in verse 8, where it talks about upper room. upper room where Eutychus was worshipping or listening the message from, it reminds me about an upper room in the Bible. And there's a few places it mentioned upper room in the Bible. And these are special places. The first one, I'm sure all of you know, will be the Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples in Acts chapter 1. And then another one, Jesus had his Last Supper, also in the upper room. And upper room, as I thought about it, seems to suggest that it is for a disciple or follower of Jesus or someone's close to Jesus. Someone have a close relationship with God. And in the modern days, Eutychus could be someone maybe like a pastor or a missionary or a church worker or maybe someone who is pretty committed to church. So despite a long day of work, like he still comes to service after work and stay to listen to the message even at midnight. Yeah, so someone is quite keen and committed, but he dozed off. Yeah, he dozed off. Now, the second point I would highlight is about sleep. Sleep in the Bible, as you may know, Paul previously wrote in 1 Thessalonians 4 or Acts 13, talk about when he used the word falling asleep, something about physical death. And Jesus also mentioned sleep for before he raised Lazarus from the dead as well. So sleep could mean physical death, or maybe it could mean something else as well. So, for example, in Matthew 25, verse 1 to 13, Jesus told the parable of the 10 virgins. And the 10 virgins fell asleep. And as they fell asleep, it led them to miss out on the wedding banquet. So as I pondered that, it reminded me maybe falling asleep metaphorically or implying that there might be some elements of unchristian behavior or even simple things like careless behavior we might do as a Christians. So maybe, I could call that modern-day spiritual drowsiness or spiritual sleepiness. So meaning that not living out the Christian life, maybe sharing the gospel or giving testimony, or simply just not being the salt and light of the world. Or maybe church is the only place you would seriously think about the word. If that's the case, then there's a high chance that you could begin to doze off as a Christian spiritually. But on the other hand, if you practice your faith and you practice what you preach, you can clearly stay alert and keep your eyes wide open and constantly sat on the edge of your seat. So it then led me to think about, is there someone I know who might be spiritually drowsy. Perhaps someone who used to sit at the front rows of the church, or who used to be on fire, and gradually over time, it sits further and further back in the sanctuary. the person might have already fallen off altogether, like Eutychus, and now spiritually dead. Do you have anyone like that in mind? Could it be one of the brother, a sister, or even a neighbor that you know? But the good thing about this passage is that it actually tells us they can recover. Eutychus recover, remember? How did he recover? In verse 10 to 12, Paul demonstrated how to recover from spiritual drowsiness. So I'll just read it out here. But Paul went down and fell upon him, and after embracing him, he said, "Do not be troubled, for his life is in him." When he had gone back up and had broken the bread and eaten, he talked with them a long while until daybreak and then left. They took away the boy alive and were greatly comforted. So what does Paul went down and fell upon him and embraced him meant? I spent some time thinking about that. And Elisha came to my mind. Remember Elisha in the Bible? Actually, there's not that many people who were raised from the dead in the Bible. Elisha, in 2 Kings chapter 4, raised the son of the Shulamite woman to life. And he went down and fell upon him as well. Let's turn to that. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 18 to 37. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 18 to 37. This actually got quite a lot of details on explains a bit more of how to recover. So I'll read these verses out as well. So verse 18. When the child was grown, the day came that he went out to his father, to the reapers. He said to his father, "My head, my head." And he said to his servant, "Carry him to his mother." When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on his lap until noon, and then died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door behind him, and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, "Please send me one of the servants and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and return." He said, "Why will you go to him today? It's neither new noon nor Sabbath." And she said, "It will be well." Then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, "Drive and go forward. Do not slow down the pace for me unless I tell you." So she went and came to the man of God to Mount Carmel. When the man of God saw her at a distance, he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Behold, there is a Shunammite. Please run now to meet her and say to her, 'Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child?'" And she answered, "It is well." When she came to the man of God, to the hill, she caught hold of both of his feet. And Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is troubled within her. And the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me." Then she said, "Did I ask for a son from my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me'?" Then he said to Gehazi, "Gird up your loins and take my staff in your hand and go your way. If you meet any man, do not salute him. And if anyone salutes you, do not answer him, and lay your staff on the lad's face." The mother of the lad said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." And he rose and followed her. Then the Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff on the lad's face. But there was no sign, no response. So he returned to meet him and told him, "The lad has not awakened." When Elisha came into the house, behold, the lad was dead and lay on his bed. So he entered and shut the door behind them both, prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth and his eyes on his eye and his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself on it. And the flesh of the child became warm. When he returned and walked in the house once back and forth, and went up and stretched himself on him, and the lad sneezed 7 times, and the lad opened his eyes. He called Gehazi and said, "Call this Shunammite." So he called her. And when she came in to him, he said, "Take up your son." Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground, and she took up her son and went out. So when someone has fallen from the upper room or like the third floor because of their spiritual drowsiness or lethargy, it's very easy for me, for you, or anyone just to preach at him or send him a rod to straighten him up. But we see, we read that in verse 34, send him a rod, or just say the words to him, doesn't bring about life. The boy remained no son after the rod, after the staff was placed on him. I feel that the key for us is to be like Elisha. He lay down on him, right? Go to go, hand in hand, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes. And that is the way we should embrace a person. And what does it mean by that? Yes, it means embrace a person. Say that I love you, I care about you, I'm here for you, and I want to stand with you. It's really about love and not doctrine that bring about the resurrection, that brings about life. And we see that by going hand to hand, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, this is some warmth, and there's a sense of stirring. And then we see an opening of the eye. And finally, the person could sit up. Maybe I'll just invite the worship to come up. You might say that you don't know how to go hand in hand, mouth to mouth, eye to eye with a person who has fallen. But Jesus is our perfect example. Jesus came down to us, into our midst, walked with us, and yeah, especially this Christmas season, that there could be some people who know they're spiritually drowsy, but they couldn't do anything about it. As well, there are some that who don't know, that might just need you to be there to walk with them. So I pray that in his love, you may find the Eutychus around you that may have fallen off the ledge, that you would come down, not on them, but you come down to them. And may God grant us the grace to be the ministers of resurrections. And may He also give us the opportunity to touch the lives this Christmas season and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen.
Awaken, my soul, come away. To hunger, to see, to thirst. shall be come with me from my sleep. Go through the caverns of my soul, pour it me to overflow. Caverns of my soul, pour it be to over. To over.
Let's take a moment to pray for this or these Eutychus in your life, and allow God to speak to you. Let's turn to our corporate prayer, and just lift up those who are suffering from cancer, that God heals them, and they know it in their hearts that God heals and comforts them. And then let's also pray for those who are suffering from illness and yet don't know Jesus, that this Christmas season, that there's a special chance for them, from the loved ones and from around, just to share the gospel, and that pray that their life will be touched and be transformed. We continue to stand with our brothers and sisters who are suffering from infirmities, and that, yes, Lord, just pray that they continue to experience God's love through community and through the words as well. Thank you. let's pray for those. Let's pray for the mission focus. Okay, let's pray for those searching for work. That even though the Christmas time may be a bit quiet, that they see God's provisions, and that they continue to spend good time with God and to do to be the salt and light. And now we look at the missions. We pray for the missions. We pray for our Singapore church plants, as well as Spin here. Lift up P. Sam Kim, his big family, the seven now. And then also, lift up Pastor Sama, as well as this Christmas season is very busy for him too. Yes, we also like to lift up our prayer in healing ministry. Lift up Alida, Matt. This week is actually IP is taking a break, but I'm sure everyone's continued to lift up SP and the pastor at their own time as well. So pray for good rest, and also for the leader, and also P. Ricky for the world, as he's also taking some holiday this week as well. And continue to pray and protect and guard River with Belinda and Janice as the leader at the interim. Next, we pray for our education ministries. Pray for Noah Sars. P. Mary is actually not feeling well right now, today. Cover him, cover her, give her extra measure of grace. Also pray for Yiling as well. And yes, also for Noah Sars, the renovation for the sixth floor has started and need to move quickly, and that all the needs for the new renovations will actually be met for Noah's Ark as well. Also pray for SP Youth with P. Nate leading, as well as SP Youth with P. Andrew. Continue to pray for our partner sons and daughters, and SPers who's going to volunteer and support their Christmas outreach this week. Also, pray for the homie outreach and the families too, that this special Christmas season, that they too will encounter God. We will close with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Come, thy kingdom. Be done your will on earth as it's already been done in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please continue to enjoy your prayer time with God, and see you tomorrow.